Welcome to a special edition of Today's 21st. I'm Nyla Boudreau. We're airing our final ReDream conversation today. It's one we did as part of a live discussion our 21st team did in Central Illinois in the town of Danville at the Boys and Girls Club there. We think it's important to talk to kids about the American dream because, after all, who else is going to carry on the hopes and dreams of this country but the next generation? And that's the question we started asking the children. What's your dream?
My dream is to be a cop so I can protect other people.
I want to be somebody that explores the world and writes books. I like to write fiction books.
Stay in school, get past college.
Work hard to get like a scholarship to like a good college.
I want to be a helper for every animal in the world. And I want to play baseball.
The only thing that could get in your way of achieving your goal is you. You have to have the right mindset.
I gotta choose my battles, and I gotta decide if I can do this, what will be the outcome.
This hour, we're going to be playing parts of our live conversation we did in the gym at the Boys and Girls Club. But first, Rob Gifford is the club's director.
Well, you know, I'm amazed. I've been in this position for 3.5 years, and I'm amazed at what 6-, 7-, and 8-year-olds understand about the world. You know, we have a wide variety of children from different social backgrounds and, different family backgrounds. We have 70% of our kids are single-family households. So, they see a lot of different things from more people than just their family, like I was blessed with as a child. But for them, I think as they start to get into maybe 7th and 8th grade, maybe early high school, I think they really start to get, a little bit of a firmer grasp on what it takes to get to some of these things. Now, you heard with our 3rd graders, we had anything from, cheerleaders and football players to, presidents, which that's always a broad one too, because they see that in the world. But teachers, police officers, and things, they start to understand the things that are important, I think, in life.
We're here because there's a project called ReDream, and it's a big project that's happening all across the country. It was started by a public television station in Kansas City, and they wanted people to talk about the American dream. And that's why we gave you this sheet of paper, because there's a lot of things that we think, and you guys said, and I think you guys recognize, that maybe have changed a little bit about the American dream, especially in the past 50 years. And I really appreciate a lot of the answers you guys wrote about how things have changed with money and the way how people are treated differently, maybe because of how we look or what color our skin is. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more too. There's a cool website that has videos, and they talked to all these people and they made these little videos of them. And we're going to play two of those videos today. And one of them is actually, I'll give you a little preview. One of them is a guy who was a basketball player. And we have some people here who said that they wanted to be basketball players and that was their dream. So I'm going to start with one person who said that. Jeremiah, can you tell us a little bit about, you want to stand up, Jeremiah? And can you introduce yourself and say, I am
Jeremiah Green.
Jeremiah, can you tell me what your American dream is? Can you tell me what your personal dream is first?
To make it to the NBA.
To make it to the NBA. What position are you going to play?
Any position they put me as, I guess.
Yeah, so what position are you working on right now playing?
Point guard.
And what do you think, and I'm going to ask you guys pretty much all the same questions, so those of you who are speaking, this is how it's going to go. What do you think you need to do in order to get to the NBA?
Have a good GPA, great academics, and work hard.
And what do you think the things are that stand in the way of, what obstacles do you think you need to overcome?
Practicing hard and making sure I'm doing good.
Doing good where?
School, life, and practice.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeremiah. I think that's hard, right? To be doing good in life and practice, and that takes a lot of discipline, and you have to work really hard. We're going to talk to one other person, thanks, Jeremiah, about their dream. I'm going to come all the way over here.
Hi, my name is Cameron.
What's your last name, Cameron?
Moore.
Cameron, what's your dream?
To be a president.
To be a president of what?
United States.
Like President Obama?
Yes.
So I think that's a great dream. I love that you want to be president. What do you think you need to do in order to become president of the United States?
Work hard and stay in school.
Why do you want to be president of the United States?
Because it's really cool, and you get to watch everything about the United States.
You get to watch everything about the United States, and you get to make decisions that can really help people, right? Yeah. Thank you for that. So you guys are going to get in groups with each other, all right? You pick a partner or two or three, no more than three in a group, and kind of get with each other. And I want you to share what your dream is, okay? Go.
You're going to talk to the president? What else are you going to do?
Maybe ask, can I help him with something?
Yeah.
And to ask him, is it okay if I stay for a little while?
Yep.
And
you
help
already
him.
Spent the night there, didn't you?
Okay.
How fun was that? What did you do?
Really ran everywhere.
You ran everywhere? Like every room in the White House? Yeah. So what do you need to do right now?
To be a president.
What do you need to do as a kid?
Work hard to be one.
What else do you need to do?
And do a lot of work.
Graduate school, right? Graduate high school.
And graduate college and get an education and to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And be respectful.
You
want
to go to college?
Awesome.
That's awesome.
What's your dream, Murphy?
To be a game designer.
A game designer?
Uh-huh.
What do you need to do to get there?
To work hard.
Yeah, but what does work hard mean?
That means to practice and try to make good games.
Yeah. Where are you going to come up with your ideas for games?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you have an idea of your first game?
Football.
You want to... Okay, a football game.
Uh-huh.
Do you play football?
No.
No? Who's your favorite football team?
The Bears.
The Bears?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to watch this video. But let's watch this video first. So Dave Bing, the really great thing about this guy is... he was a basketball player, but he was also a mayor. So he was a basketball player, and then he was a politician. So let's hear his story.
You know, I think there was a vision for the American dream back in the 40s and 50s, my youth days. And it was to, you know, graduate from high school, potentially go to college, and then get a job in the government. That's what D.C. was all about. And either you would become a teacher or you'd get a job in one of the government facilities. And you'd have a good middle class life. All those material things are kind of out the window. I don't think that exists anymore at all. No, it surely doesn't exist in the inner city here in Detroit or any other major urban center. People are fighting for their existence. The thing that kept me out of trouble was sports. My parents would not have been able to afford to send me to college. But because of my athletic ability, I had scholarships. And I chose to go to Syracuse University. But I didn't see many people who looked like me. There were 14,000 students, 100 black students, 80 were males. Most of us were on athletic scholarships. that was a rude awakening for me. The competition that I had at Syracuse and playing on that team allowed me to compete against guys from all walks of life. And I was able to be successful as a player. And it probably, without a doubt, prepared me to go into the next phase of my career, which was the NBA. Now, I don't think everybody has the same opportunity. You know, everybody would like to think that all of us should have the same kind of opportunities. That's not our reality. Some people are born with better opportunities than others. Some people are more prepared than others for opportunity. I just don't think everybody, I've heard kids say, you know, it's not fair, and I agree with that. But that's the world that we live in. I mean, if you're gonna make changes, you have to be the change agent. I think when you look back over the last 50 years and you compare where the United States was and where it is, things are better for a lot of us. But there are still people that are left behind for a lot of different reasons. There's room, a lot of room for improvement across the board. And I think as long as we're not satisfied with where we are in life, there's a chance to better ourselves. Opportunities out there, but you got to be prepared to take advantage of those opportunities.
So what I really liked about that was, there was a Boys and Girls Club. Did you guys see that in Detroit? We kind of picked that for, I think, that reason. What I really actually liked what he said there, which I think is really true, and I think everybody here needs to think about, is everybody does have to work hard, but not everybody does get the same opportunities. And I think that it's really important to know that, and that some people have to work harder than other people to get the same thing. And I think that's a really important lesson that I took from that. I wonder, for you guys who were listening, does anybody have anything else about that they wanted to say? Can you say your name?
Chloe. I liked that he had a dream and he just went for it, that he didn't give up. If you have a dream, you shouldn't give up on it.
It's Chloe. And I think when you have a dream, what I like about it is he said he worked really hard for a lot of things, because he had a dream to be a basketball player, and then he had to work hard for that, and then he had a dream to be a politician. So does anybody else have anything they want to say about the video, about Mayor Bing?
Okay, I'm Elijah Williams, and yes, when he said everybody has to work harder than some people, I wrote that on my paper as well, because that is so true. Sometimes where you really want to get in life is the more you want to get there, the harder you have to work.
Thanks for that, Elijah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And actually, Elijah, what did you say your personal dream was? Can you share it with me?
My personal dream was to be a computer programmer, to go to Tennessee State, and also to break the cycle of gangs and violence, because I feel like that is a big situation that needs to be hit in life.
And when you say break the cycle, it's a really hard thing to do. How do you think you personally can do that?
It's to go out there and just show them that it's brighter on the other side. You don't have to stay where you're at, because I'm pretty sure none of them want to stay where they're at, because I know that the only reason why they want to do it is because the streets are teaching them how to do it. If we could change the streets, that means we could change them.
What kind of work do you think you personally have done on yourself so you're not someone who's out on the streets and thinking those things?
To be 100% honest with you, actually, I used to be a very negative person, but it's only because of the Boys and Girls Club that I came here, that I was actually adopted, which after that changed my whole entire life. I got my mindset right. I changed my attitude. You got to take care of you before you can try to take care of anybody else.
So I think, Elijah, there are a lot of people here who might want to know how you change your mindset, because I think that could be really good advice for people who maybe are younger than you, or even people who are the same age as you. What advice do you have for people for how they could change their mindset?
I have two advice. One for people that was in foster care like me, come here, because always I got adopted because the past club director, Mr. Ricky, I asked him at first if he would adopt me, and he said he couldn't. But he's the one that actually found me the home that I'm lived in. And you know what? For other people that's not in foster care, change your mindset. It's all up to you. The only person that can get in the way of you is you. So it's all in the mind.
Thanks for that, Elijah. Can I ask you one more question? Do you think that the American dream is achievable for everybody?
Yes, I do. And just like you said in the video, some just have to work harder than others, because, like, say, when I was first a kid, I didn't really care. And so I came here and I started working hard to get where I wanted to be. So like right now, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. Like when the Lieutenant Governor Evelyn Sanguinetti, she asked me to be her internship for my Youth of the Year because she heard my speech. But and I had to put myself out there for her to get to know me. So if I didn't put myself out there, she wouldn't have known and I wouldn't have that great opportunity.
You're listening to a special edition of the 21st. Stay tuned. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Welcome back to a special edition of the 21st with the Boys and Girls Club of Danville. What's your name?
Nia Crawford.
Nia, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do?
I want to be a professional rapper.
I heard that. Everybody knows that around here. I heard everybody say that. So I heard, did you like create a rap? Do you have a spoken word presentation for us? You want to go for it?
My name is N.I.A. I don't play. I go to the Boys and Girls Club every day, hanging out with Carly and Raven, plus others. There ain't time to be waiting. I'm like John Cena up in the arena. I'm rapping so fast like Hurricane Katrina. It's really fun here at the BGC. If you're in the group, Miss Sierra and Mr. Willie.
All right. Woo! That was great.
We met Nia and many other children this summer at the Boys and Girls Club. Over a few different visits, we talked to the kids about what their hopes and dreams were and what obstacles stood in the way of them achieving those dreams. We also talked to some of the adults at the club and what they do to give children tools to achieve those dreams and why the adults do what they do. It's part of a nationwide conversation we've been taking part in called the ReDream Project. What's your dream?
My dream is to be a baseball player.
A flipper.
I want to be a medic for the Navy.
I want to be a teacher.
And I want to be a famous archaeologist.
I want to be the president of the United States.
And I want to be a dance teacher.
And I want to be a police officer.
And I want to be an entrepreneur.
And I want to be a game designer.
And I want to be a movie designer.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be a cotton candy maker.
I want to be a, I want to be the same thing as her.
And I want to explore the world.
I want to be a football player.
And I want to be a storm chaser.
Rob Gifford is the club's executive director. He says all of the adults at the club try to not just nurture, but also help the kids with practical life skills and encouragement to make what they want a reality.
One of the things that we try to do here through our core programs, one of those being education, is to teach kids that they can reach their dreams, but that education is very important.
How do you think the children at the club think about their future? And what do you think their life, what they want their life to be like when they get older? As you spend hours with these kids every day.
Sure.
And I'm sure a lot of those conversations happen.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, if you look at kids, I think kids, especially when they're younger, their dreams tend to be more of things that they see, like a singer, like a famous singer, or a movie star, or something along that line. And I think as they get older, they start to formulate a little bit more concrete dreams, maybe something like a policeman or a teacher or a public servant or something along that line.
Right. And, you know, as I mentioned, your team at the Boys and Girls Club is partnering with the 21st staff show and WILL to have some conversations about what the American dream means to them. And we have them fill out worksheets to write about what their dream was and what challenges they face and whether they believe the American dream is achievable. And a lot of the kids said they wanted to be NBA stars or cheerleaders. And I was wondering what your approach is to supporting children in the club when you hear them say things like that, especially older kids.
Sure. You know, you're supportive. The main thing is that you're supportive of their dreams because that is their dream. But you also talk about the things, for instance, you know, even NBA stars and NFL football players at some point in life that sports career is going to be done, and they have to have something else to fall back on. So we always talk to them about that's a great dream to have, but, you know, be prepared for after that segment of your dream is done, what's the next type of dream that you want? What's the next thing that you're going to do after that dream? I know for us here, you know, we never want to discourage a child from whatever their, you know, what they think they want to grow up to be, what their dream is. But we also, I think, empowering them with information, you know, talking about other opportunities as well and the things that they need to do, I think are important.
As I mentioned, we've been spending time this summer at the Boys and Girls Club in Danville in central Illinois. On one trip, we talked with a group of third graders there, along with their teacher, Miss Gina, about what dreams they have.
I'm Miss Gina. This is Anthony, Nasira, Jaylee, Soraya, and Colton. I mean, they're all either in third grade or going into third grade, going into fourth grade.
I want to be a singer and a dancer when I grow up.
How about you?
Police officer and a judge
and a member of the jury and like a police operator.
And I also used to wanted to be a president, but
I wanted to be famous by singing.
What kind of songs?
Gospel.
Some people might want to have peace on earth, and some people might not want to get bullied by other people.
I think the American dream was when you start to grow up, you have to do better in life, because if you don't, you're going to have to start redoing school and college. And then later on life, you can't do anything because you're not smart enough.
If you get straight A's and get to college and don't drop out, you'll probably do what you wanted to do.
We know that dreams are important, but it's also essential to acknowledge real life and what can stand in the way of achieving your dreams. For our final event at the Boys and Girls Club, we spent an afternoon with the entire summer camp in their gym. Earlier in the hour, you heard part of that conversation. But we didn't just talk to the young people not just about what they want, but what stands in the way of achieving their dreams.
I've got two people so far who want to share their dreams. I have one person over here. Can you stand up and introduce yourself, please? Why don't you get Sheila to stay on the chair? Maybe stand on the chair and then everyone can see you. Okay? Then everybody can see you. Okay, what's your name?
Gracie.
Gracie, what do you want to do? What's your dream?
I want to be a teacher and a mayor.
You want to be a mayor of where?
In Danville.
Why do you want to be the mayor of Danville?
So I can make the world a better place.
That's a great dream. Thanks, Gracie. You know, I think more people should say that they want to be mayors. That's a really good one. Okay, other dreams. All right, let's do one over here. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you. You put your hand up. Why are you giving me that face?
I'm not one of them.
No, you don't.
Diddy!
Diddy. What's your name?
Say it loud.
Dakota Huckleberry.
What is your dream, Dakota?
To stop the violence.
To stop the violence. How do you think we can all be better at stopping violence?
By making an example of being good.
Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you for that. Let's talk to Zoe. Zoe, can you stand up? Can you say your name for us?
Hi, my name is Zoe.
Zoe, what's your dream?
To become a good cheerleader coach.
Why do you want to be a cheerleading coach?
Because you could be bossy.
Because you could be bossy? Okay, well, that's a good reason. I think that's a good way to channel to know your personality and channel that into something productive. So I think that's a really good idea. Hey, Destiny, can you stand up? What do you want to be when you grow up, Destiny?
A nurse.
A nurse. Why do you want to be a nurse? Who do you know who's a nurse?
My mom.
Your mom's a nurse. I bet she's a really good nurse. Is that why you want to be a nurse?
Yes.
That's a great goal, to be a nurse and a cheerleading coach. Keontae, what's your dream?
To be a person that inspires the upcoming generations.
How do you think you can be someone who inspires upcoming generations? What do you think you need to do to do that?
Set a positive example and show my academic background how if I could do it, they could do it.
Who has been inspirational to you?
The Boys and Girls Club, my teachers at school, and family.
Thanks for that, Keontae. Thank you. Because you know what? I think that we have to remember the people who are inspirational to say thank you to them, because I think sometimes we don't do that. And I think it's really important to thank people who are inspirational for us, because we realize how important they are. All right, we're talking about how we can overcome obstacles. We're talking about obstacles that are in the way of your dream, okay? So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go lightning round because I know that it's really close to the end of time of you guys being here and parents picking up.
My name is Braden D. McLaughlin. Sometimes people get in your way and you can't do your stuff.
Yeah, so when someone gets in your way, what's a good way to get out of their way?
I kind of like walk around them.
That's a good idea. I think that's a really good idea.
Richard Beasley.
And what obstacle do you have?
Haters.
There's a lot of haters in this world, so I think that's a good one. What do you think you can do to overcome haters?
Walk the other way and don't listen to what they're saying.
So you have to say walk away. That's a good one. Jeremiah, what else did you say? How do you get rid of haters?
Prove them wrong.
Prove them wrong. That's a really good one, too. Thank you for that, Jeremiah. Okay, do you have an obstacle? You have an obstacle. Okay, you both go with your obstacles. Let's start with you.
Obstacles in life is gang violence and people doubting you.
How do you think you can overcome people doubting you? If people doubt you, how can you fix that?
By not listening to them and like rising up.
Thank you.
One of the things we heard the children talk about is the violence they see and sometimes experience in their young lives. It's not just the children. Boys and Girls Club volunteer Willie Williams moved to Danville a few years ago after his own son was shot and killed in Chicago. His namesake, Willie Williams III, was a high school basketball star at Robeson High School. The 17-year-old was shot by a man when walking towards friends who got in a fight outside a movie theater at Ford City Mall in 2006. That experience led his father to become a community activist, and now he works closely with kids at the club. Willie, thanks for talking to us about this. Your son would have been 27 this year.
My son, he gave up 7 organs, and he saved 4 lives. You know, that's one of the things that we wanted to do. Willie was a great kid, and, you know, we missed him. He was fun. If you would have knew him, you would have loved him because he was very respectful to his elders and everything. And if it was going to help someone else live, that's what we wanted. So my dream is to hopefully meet those people that have his organ, just to get him a hug, you know.
And know that they were able to live because of him.
Yes. We're losing our youth by the minute, by the second. You know, this is like a cancer. This cancer is eating us up big time. I can tell you it hurts deeply that we have a lot of shooting, especially with our youth, because they're supposed to be our future.
What do you want people to understand what it's like for you and for others who have been and experienced the loss that you have? What do you want people to understand about what it's like for you to constantly see and hear about more violence?
Well, every time a young person gets shot and killed, it goes reacting to me losing my son. And I tell anyone, you know, you get to a point that you don't want to be here. You get to a point that you want to go out and get revenge. But then you have to come back in reality of saying you're a child of God to help you to forgive that person and pray to God that we get this person off the street. But it's a feeling out of this world that you don't want to feel. You know, I pray for anyone not to get that feeling because I have that feeling every day through the hour, through the second. So I have breakdowns either every other day or every day just thinking about losing my son. You know, what I could have seen, you know, he was headed to college the next year. Yeah, he had a full ride to go to Arizona State. And I was looking forward to seeing him play. You know, that was a dream for me to see him play on the college stage. And also, he was a Jesse White tumbler.
Mm. And that was in 2006. I imagine that grief has not, it sounds like for you, that grief has not lessened at all.
Oh, no. Even though we caught the person 4 years later, no, it don't leave you at all. It's with you always. Again, I can tell you, but I wouldn't want you to feel this at all. It hurts bad. It can make you sick. It can actually give yourself a stroke or kill you, how much the hurt it is.
But it's also, it led you to working at the Boys and Girls Club. Do you think for that, is that a way for you to, do you feel like that's a way for you to cope with what you've gone through?
Oh, of course. You know, I always want to see our youth do good, you know. I'm a certified coach. I try to train them in the sports so they can be better. You know, hopefully if they don't get a scholarship or anything in academic, you know, maybe they can get it in sports or something. So, yeah, for me to help other kids, you know, it's a big help to and it helps me too. So it's like I'm getting treatments that I'm helping people, and they're helping me get better.
We actually had Willie Williams on the 21st when we were talking to him about the violence that's happened this summer. Willie Williams is without a doubt one of the children's favorite adults at the Boys and Girls Club. During our time with the entire summer camp in the club's gym, we ended our afternoon by turning the tables on the adults, turning the microphone to them to ask them what their dreams were. And all of the kids said they wanted to hear what Mr. Williams' dream was. Here's that moment.
All right. Oh. You can't duck. Okay.
Listen up.
Okay, listen up. This is our last dream we're going to hear from today. What's your name?
Willie Williams.
Mr. Williams, what's your dream?
My dream is to hopefully give our kids, our young youth dreams to stop the gun violence in America.
Thanks for that. All right, let's give everybody who shared their dreams a round of applause. So, I'm trying to remember who it was. Keontae. So Keontae said that he wants to inspire other people. And I want you guys to know that I think what you have done today is inspire all of us. And I hope you guys remember that you can do that for each other too, and that you can encourage each other to achieve your dreams, because it's really hard to achieve dreams on your own. You have to do it with your friends or your family or whoever you can find to support you. So thank you so much for being a part of this today.
Stay tuned to this encore edition of The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. I'm Nyla Boodoo, and you're listening to a special edition of The 21st.
Hi, my name is Kubajine. I want to be a hairstylist and a photographer.
Hi, my name is Dejanay, and I want to be a kindergarten teacher to help other kids get a good education for them to grow up and try to do something they like and want to be and follow their dreams.
Hi, my name is Sally, and I want to be an actor and a fashion designer.
Hi, my name is Jeremiah, and I want to go to the NBA.
I think the American dream is to have equal rights and be able to do anything.
Following your dreams and being able to do what you want to do.
Things are changing because, like, a whole bunch of people are not getting education and going to school. A lot of people are getting poor because they don't have education, which they need to go to school for education and get a degree in college. That's what I think.
Those are kids at the Boys and Girls Club in Danville. We've been talking about what the American Dream means in the U.S. today. It's a partnership we've been involved with since the 21st first started to promote dialogue about what the American Dream means today. It's a nationwide series that's led by Kansas City Public Television, KCPT. When we first started the partnership, we spoke with Nathaniel Bozart, the associate producer for the ReDream Project, and Carla McCabe, the executive director for ReDream and vice president for digital and multimedia content at KCPT. Nathaniel, Carla, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Nathaniel, let's start with you. What's the ReDream Project all about?
Well, ReDream is about, just like you said, starting a conversation about what does opportunity look like today in the 21st century? What does the American dream look like in the 21st century? We realize that there have been shifts in the economy. There's like a lot has changed since the idyllic white picket fences, the 2.5 kids and a dog in the suburbs. That ideology was first started, and we kind of trace that back to the 50s and 60s with the rise of suburbia, and a lot of change. So we're kind of out to just see, so are people still dreaming? How has that dream changed? Is that a real dream for anyone? And how are people achieving that dream?
I'm curious, Nathaniel, I wanted to ask you, and Carla, I want to ask you this also. It is this notion of the American dream. It is such a pervasive one. Is it something that you, Nathaniel, did you say that you think this really arose in the 50s, or do you think this was so much part of our narrative before that?
I definitely think it's a part of our narrative before that. I think that particular imagery of the white picket fence
is a 50s one, right?
Yes. I definitely think, I mean, there's some great literature out there that kind of traces it back to, the Puritans who came over from Europe. There's great literature out there that kind of puts it in our national dialogue from the start.
Carla, why did KCPT want to get involved with this project?
It was a huge opportunity for us to really engage with the local community and talk to people, you know, firsthand. We were very lucky in that we produced another series prior with Nathaniel and his and Christopher Cook, who heads up another organization here. So we first of all did a series called Your Fellow Americans, which was about race, immigration, and the American dream. And with that series, they were short videos, but again, the big part for that was dialogue. So we went out into the community and hosted town hall events and just really had some conversations. It's now, some schools have picked it up and put it on their curriculum. And again, we learned a lot from that series, and from that since then, the evolution of ReDream has been pretty amazing. We're very lucky that we have 14 other stations, including ourselves, involved. So we're getting a really good reach of people and a really diverse perspective.
And Nathaniel, as Carla said, 14 member stations. The goal is to bolster dialogue. How many different videos and what else is on the ReDream website?
So we have a fantastic website. Thanks for asking that. So there's 40 videos. Each of those videos is following an individual as they pursue happiness, their version of the American dream, and they'll be talking about what opportunities are enabling them to achieve their dreams and what barriers they're finding in their way.
And
also
then,
on the website,
mm-hmm, go ahead.
We have we're sort of collecting dreams because, of course, 40 stories is great, but we understand there's so many more dreams out there, and we want to encourage people to dream and to encourage other people to join the conversation. So we have this great page that's just at readdreamproject.org/dreams. You'll see it in the navigation on the page, where we have hundreds of dreams collected of people who have come online, wrote down what their dream is, and we'd invite any of your viewers to do that as well, to input their dreams and kind of join the conversation that way.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about that in a minute, but I wanted to play a little bit of some of the stories that are on the site. And one of the people featured on the site is Adriana Aguilar, and she's an undocumented immigrant. She came to the U.S. at the age of one, and now she's trying to make her way through college. So let's take a little bit of a listen to Adriana's story.
My name is Adriana Aguilar. I am 26 years old. I migrated from Mexico to the United States when I was a year and a half. I am the oldest and only woman of 5 siblings. My parents highlight the fact that if we didn't have resources here in the United States because we are undocumented, we always have to hustle and create opportunities for us. I started realizing I'm undocumented. I don't have access to financial aid. I cannot apply to a job in an office like my other friends because I don't have social security. I cannot receive health benefits. I suffered depression, and that was something that I never talked to my parents about because I never had an example of my parents saying, I can't, I give up. That was not that it was not acceptable, but it was not mentioned on the table. So it was really hard for me to express that. So I had to deal with my own depression by my own. For many, higher education means social mobility. It's earning another tool to have access. Like, how can I use that in my favor in order to be resilient to the situation? You know, higher education means that my parents came to the United States for a reason, and that reason is happening, you know.
That was Adriana Aguilar. She's one of 40 voices featured in videos created by the ReDream Project team. We're speaking with their producers right now, Nathaniel Bozart and Carla McCabe. They've joined us with 21st, by the way, if you're just joining us, is one of the partners with ReDream. It's a nationwide series that's being led by KCPT. Nathaniel, how did you find Adriana and the other voices that were featured in the videos?
We found them through our networks. The hard part was having to kind of narrow it down. What we did originally was we decided, you know, with this series, we want to show as much diversity of what America means, who's living here, as possible. So we actually made a spreadsheet, and we kind of wrote down how are people different. So people are different maybe by race or nationality, by their religion or their gender or their sexuality or all these different things, socioeconomic status. We created that list, and then we tried to just sort of start filling categories, which was kind of an incredibly cold way to go about a task.
But it's such an interesting thing, though, right? Because as you're seeing all those different categories, Nathaniel, do you feel like all of those different categories of people that make up America all have different, did you find that they had very different ways that they approached the question of what their American dream was?
I'd say a little bit. I think certainly what we found is that there's so much similarity too. Is that, and that's definitely what we hope to find to kind of let this project show how we have so many things that could divide us, so many things that do make us different, but really across the board, everyone has kind of at the bottom of their dream is they want to be fed with a home. They want to have a family. They want to be happy, and everybody shares that in common, which is kind of the great unifying thing of dreams, right? That we all have dreams like this that unify us.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a listen to another story. I'm thinking about Kyle Smitley, the founder of a school in Detroit. What's interesting about Kyle is that Kyle's dream is to actually help kids be able to achieve their dreams. So let's take a listen to this woman who's trying to bridge the opportunity gap for kids in Detroit.
To me, when I hear people talk about the American dream, what it means to me is this idea that people can come from anywhere, any class, any country, any city, and if you're willing to work hard enough, you can have it all. For me, the American dream looks like working hard to get to a place that you decide you want to get to that will ultimately fulfill you in a way that you're satisfied with. My role is the founder and executive director of Detroit Achievement Academy. Detroit Achievement Academy is a free public school located on the northwest side of Detroit. The opportunity gap for kids in Detroit is tremendous. I'm seeing firsthand how the cycle of poverty and groups of people being entirely marginalized can affect everyone's opportunity. So part of my passion, my work, is not only to close the opportunity gap for kids, but knowing that I need to close it for their parents. Their parents want nothing more than to get a really awesome job and provide for their families, but they just literally have every card in the deck stacked against them in a way that no one, regardless of education level or work ethic, could overcome. And that, I think, is what drives me to close the opportunity gap. My pursuit of happiness is intertwined with my students in so much that I want nothing more than for them to believe that they can do whatever they want. And I would hope that they would see what it looks like to be an adult that is working really hard to do good work for other people. And I just hope that I can be one of many, hopefully, models of that in their life as well.
That was Kyle Smitley, founder of a school in Detroit. And Nathaniel, Carla, what was so interesting to me about her dream was that it's actually to help kids be able to achieve their dream. And as you all have been working on capturing people's dreams, how often is it that you find someone whose dream is centered around making a difference in other people's lives?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. I think it has been really surprising to us. And I'll give an example of an event that we had here in Kansas City. It was a youth ambassadors event, and the youth ambassadors is an organization who works with kids between the age of 14 and 18 that come from, you know, the urban core. They are extremely inspiring. They're taught social skills, basic social skills, how to prep for job interviews, presentation skills. And they stood up in a room and basically read each other's stories, which were very, very raw, hard-hitting, sensitive subject matters. So at the end of that event, we stood up and asked them to, you know, what their American dream was and to share that with us. And it still gives me goosebumps every time I think of it, because every one of those kids, all they could talk about was giving back. Everything was about their community or their family. It was, for example, one young child said that she just wants to go to college so that she can look after her mum afterwards, the way she's looked after her. And it was just very, very inspiring to hear kids who don't really have very much and have never had very much, as well as the experiences that they've had in their lives. Most people will not see in their lifetime, but yet everything they kept talking about was given back either in their community or family, as I say. So that has been a big message. I would say a lot of the people that we've talked to with community events, they are very much, you know, they're not talking about themselves wanting the fancy car, or yes, people do aspire to have a home and their health and a family, but yet they still seem to really buy into this community, this sense of community again.
Nathaniel, what's been the most surprising thing to you as you're the one who kind of came up with this idea, and as you've gone through 40 of these stories, you're hearing these stories as you're going out and doing events across the country. What's been the most surprising thing you've learned from this whole experience?
Wow. Man. That's tough. I think I'm maybe surprised by people's optimism. I definitely kind of fall into a camp that I certainly think there's a lot of things that need fixing in our country, just to be honest about my kind of personally where I stand. And so we've heard these amazing stories from people, and they tell you about the barriers they've faced. And you, me as the one doing the interviewing in many circumstances, I'm thinking, wow, like this is just nuts. Like the cards have been stacked against them the whole way. And then we get to the end of the interview, and the question that we always ask is, hey, so do you think your version of the American dream is available to all Americans? And it's a really weighty question. And many times I anticipate an answer that's going to be sort of pessimistic or just kind of a glasses half empty look at life. But there's so many times that people say, you know what, like, people can make it. People can make it if they work harder. People can make it with just a little bit of luck. And I think that optimism has surprised me. And I think
that's a great message. Thanks for that, Nathaniel.
Too. Yeah.
That does it for us today. We can't do live shows without lots of help, chief among our engineering staff. Very special thanks today to Steve Mork for live engineering our segment at the Boys and Girls Club and for producing today. And to WILL's Kimberly Cronick, Lisa Braltz Kelly, and Liz Murray for all their help with our events we did at the Boys and Girls Club this summer. That does it for this special encore edition of The 21st. Thanks for listening. You can always find past shows on the NPR One app. Search for The 21st. We're also available on iTunes and Android. If you want to send us an email, leave us a voicemail, follow us on social media, all you have to remember is our website, 21stshow.org. We're produced by Hala Delahi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. Thanks to Joe Yoon and Nick Vance from the University of Illinois' Social Media Analytics Lab for their research help. And special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.